David Guest.
Hello.
It's absolutely fabulous to meet you. It is. It's a real pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. Loving Eastbourne.
Yeah. Been out shopping.
I've been out shopping, yeah. And I went into a place and had my hair cut before I got here, too. I'll tell you the name of the place, because I got the card. I'm going back. I went to the cutting club.
I bet they were surprised when you walked in.
Yeah,
the door,
they were stunned. And this Claire, she cut my hair because it was too long. And I love this place. This is so far, such a different from where I was brought up.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I wanted to talk about you first
yes.
of all, because I read your biography.
Yep.
And what surprised me was your early beginnings. And the first question is it true?
Yeah.
Because you are a great storyteller.
No.
So what surprised me was that you were born in Taiwan.
I was born in Taiwan.
Your father was a fisherman.
My father's name was Dong Lo, mm-hmm. and he was a fisherman, and he only had a right leg. And he met my mother, whose name was Nani. And she only had a left leg. And they put the two legs together. I was conceived. My real name wasn't David. Seriously, it was Hoppity. And at five...
Hoppity. Right.
And at five, I was adopted and moved to California. I have two brothers I've never seen. My brother Hung Lo, because my father's name was Dong Lo, and my other brother, whose name was Long Dong Lo. So, why are you laughing?
I'm sorry.
No, and my...
Is that really a true story?
It's a true story. My grandmother...
Well, I apologize for laughing.
My grandmother, who I was the closest to when I was a kid, my mother's name was Wee Wee Nani. My grandmother's name was Poo. Her name was Poo Nani. And I love Poo Nani. That was her name, Poo Nani. Seriously.
Seriously.
I love Poo Nani.
I'm looking at you now,
yeah.
deep into the eyes.
Yeah.
And
seriously.
No, serious, no BS. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So at five, you moved to California.
Yeah, I was adopted.
And at that time, your name was changed.
To David.
To David.
Right.
From those humble beginnings, David.
Yeah.
You've had such amazing success. Now, what do you put that down to? Is that good luck? Is that hard work? Is it fate?
I think it's hard work because I think I had to work from the time that I was 12 years old. I worked first as in a market. I don't know what you call it here, but stocking the shelves. And then I worked as a busboy. You clean tables at 13. And I had to work from the time I was 12 because I was not given much. My parents had money, but they didn't give the kids hardly any money. So at 16 or 17, I applied for a job at London Records, which was called British Decca here. And I lied about my age because I had a full afro that was, you know, about 6 feet out. And I looked older with a beard and mustache. And I told them I was 21, and they hired me as director of public relations. And then my boss, he OD'd because it was during the rock and roll drug era mm-hmm. of the 60s. And so they moved me to New York to be the head of not only public relations, but artist relations when I was 17.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I didn't have a license to go in and drink in New York. You had to be 21.
But what do you put that down to?
When I want to do something, I do it. It's like putting on a show. If I decide I'm going to do it, I want to do it, and I keep wanting to do it better and better.
We have to talk about Michael Jackson.
Okay.
You grew up with him. You met him in, what, 1969?
So yeah.
So you were boys together.
Yeah, we were kids together.
So the stories we hear about Michael Jackson being so young in business and not having a childhood,
mm-hmm.
are those stories true?
He didn't really have a childhood, per se, but he was so afraid of Joe during those years that when I finally moved out at 16 or 17... he used to come and stay at my place on Doheny. I lived in a building on 100 South Doheny. My neighbors were his brother Jackie and his then wife Enid, or his girlfriend. I think he wasn't married yet. John Travolta, Mary Lou Henner, and two of the Temptations, Otis Williams and Melvin Franklin. And Mary Lou Henner lived in the building from Taxi. And it was a real hip happening. Yeah, it was quite a building. And there was always parties going on. Mm-hmm. And Michael wasn't like what people thought. He talked in a deep voice. I want to do it, and I don't give a flying blank. We're going to do it now. And he was the one that put all those campaigns together for Off the Wall, for Bad Thriller. Every billboard, every idea of what he should do, he had a brilliant mind, and he talked. Let's put it this way. You would have to be pretty strong to put up with me as a best friend, because I'm a bit of a nutter, and I'm crazy. But I also love personality, and he could always tell if I was going to get mad, or we'd go into a store, and we both collected rock and roll memorabilia and antiques. And I'd go in, and I'd say, do you have any Lou Valentino statues? There is no Lou Valentino. It's a name made up. And the guy would go, I just sold the last one. And Michael goes, I'll give you $10,000 if you can get one for me. He goes, I don't have. He goes, $20,000. And then we'd walk out of there and go, I would never buy from this store. The guy's lying from hip to toe or from toe to hip. Mm-hmm. And he had a very funny personality. I called him M. His name was M. I'd go, M, we're going now. And he used to get mad at me because I made him put the gas in the car. I hated to take that handle out of the thing because somehow I always leaked the gas sometimes. And so he'd get out, and this is at the height of Thriller, and people would go, oh my God, Michael Jackson is pumping gas. I had the bigger ego of the two of us. There was no doubt about it.
As lifelong friends then, his tragic death must have been a huge shock to you.
It was the first time I've cried in maybe 15, 20 years. I don't cry. I've cried twice when I've really cried in the last, I'd say in the last 10 years. That was when he died. And my other closest friend, who I'm handling her upcoming memorabilia auction, who was like a sister, was Whitney Houston.
I was going to ask you about
Whitney. Yeah. And I mean, I adored her. Mm. And they have done a documentary here about her that is just terrible. And it wasn't like she sat and did coke all the time, because she didn't. Did she do drugs? Yes. I mean, there's no denying that she did drugs. But she had the funniest personality. And I'll tell you one great story, and I'll make it quick.
Okay.
What happened was, I used to have parties when I lived in New York. I had a house where a living room, kind of like the room we're in, but longer and a little bit thinner. And I used to have everybody play there. Pink made her debut in my house. And I had Ashford and Simpson, the Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald. I had, you name it, they all sang in my house. And I used to have these parties, and we'd give the money to charity. And there'd be like 150 people having dinner. The Four Tops, the original Four Tops, were on the bill. And Whitney and I were arguing. There was this woman there. I thought it was Whitney's friend. She thought it was my friend. And we'll just say we were using language that sometimes shouldn't be used. And we're going back and forth. And then she went into my memorabilia cabinet, and she was taking things that she decided she wanted to keep. And I said, you can have them, but you've got to host the show. She goes, no, I'm leaving now. I said, then the bag stays, and then you go, but you're not getting anything. And so she stayed, and she hosted. The next day, one of the Four Tops, Duke, called me and said, my wife had a great time. I said, I'm so sorry I didn't meet her. He said, well, she was with you and Whitney the whole time. And she said, she's learned a language she's never, ever learned. I said, I thought it was Whitney's friend. Whitney thought it was my friend. And it was one of the Four Tops' wives that was standing with us the whole evening. She had to think we're nuts, because we are. Billy Paul and I were friends from the time I was 18. There was a group of us that used to hang out on the Sunset Strip and go into the ghetto on Crenshaw to all the soul clubs. And it was Eddie Kendricks from The Temptations, who sang "The Way You Do the Things You Do." You know that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was Billy Paul, and it was Frida Payne, Band of Gold, Carla Thomas, the Memphis Queen of Soul, B.A.B.Y., Tito Jackson, myself, and Jackie Jackson, the Fifth Dimension, a group of us, Smokey Robinson. We'd all get together and hang out, and we'd have so much fun, and we'd go to the ghetto and see all these great soul acts. And I always felt at home in black clubs. I would go into the ghettos and act like I owned it.
So where does that come from in you, the soul?
I had a housekeeper when I was living in California. And I remember from the time I was 8 or 9, her bringing 45s for me to play. And I remember hearing Aretha Franklin's first pop record, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You and Respect, and hearing Linda Jones, Hypnotized, and Billy Stewart, Summertime. And I got so into it. It just got in my veins. And then in the area, I had a mentor, a man who helped me become a music critic before I went to work for a record company. His name was Billy Eckstein. He had a number one record here with Sarah Vaughan called Passing Strangers. And he's a jazz legend. And I started to interview him and other people. He got Ray Charles to let me have an interview. And I became friends with Ray Charles later on. He, when Liza and I did our aborted MTV TV show, Liza and David, Ray was at the house with Destiny's Child, and Ray sang at my house with Ashford and Simpson. Whoa. And I went to Ray's funeral, and he was a really good friend. And he never used to go any place and eat. And he came to our house, and he ate with his fingers, because sometimes he wouldn't use a knife if it was like fried chicken or uh-huh. something. And he sat there eating, and his manager, Joe Adams, said to me, "I've never, ever seen him eat at somebody's house." I loved Ray Charles. Mm-hmm. I mean, he taught me a lot.